Babylon, the New Edition, Chapter 3, written by David W. Dyer, read by Wayne O'Connor. Blood of the Martyrs. Another feature of this prostitute is that she too is drunk. But she is drunk with a different substance. She is intoxicated with the blood of the saints and the martyrs of Jesus. Revelation chapter 17, verse 6. Although this may seem a little strange, in fact, it is very scriptural. 1 John 3:13 warns us, "Do not marvel, my brethren, if the world hates you." We also read, "If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you." John chapter 15, verse 18. You see, those who are indulging themselves in the kingdom of this world will always hate those who are not. Even the presence of those who are not committing adultery with the prostitute is a silent condemnation to those who are. This testimony of righteousness and love for God causes a reaction in those who love the world. They cannot help themselves. They begin to hate those who are not like them. They have another father, the devil, John chapter 8, verse 44, and another passion, the things and pleasures of this world. Therefore, they cannot stand those who are not like them. With the passage of time, this hatred culminates in a desire to kill those who are holy, in order to get rid of them, to blot out the negative effect which righteous people have on their guilty consciences. They end up murdering them. This is what induced the people of Jesus' day to kill him. It is what has precipitated the death of all martyrs since that time. Be warned, this same hatred is still in force today. Religion is also worldly. Although many do not realize this, perhaps simply because they have not thought about it, all religion is also worldly. It is a product of and part of the system of this world. It is part of the devil's kingdom. It is clear that the religions which Christians consider erroneous do not have their origin in God, but in the world. For example, we can be certain that the one true God did not establish Buddhism, Hinduism, Islam, and a great variety of other religions. Therefore, we know that they have another source. Although some of the adherents of such religions exhibit a kind of piety in fasting, self-denial, etc., the fact is that such exercises are not genuine holiness, but a human and therefore earthly imitation of the divine. Such things also are part of the system of this world. They are just as unrighteous and rebellious as other sins, such as drunkenness, sex outside of marriage, murder, etc. While it is obvious that sensuality, excess, pursuit of fame and power, etc., are part of the devil's prostitutes' offerings, it is perhaps less evident that he has some segments for those who like to think well of themselves. He also has room in his kingdom for the smug, the proud, the disdaining of others, the self-confident, and the self-righteous. There is space for those who have a strong will and like to demonstrate this through self-deprivation, austerity, and abnegation. For some of these, religion is the perfect vehicle to express their superiority. through adhering to some set of religious standards, they can demonstrate their ability to control their natural passions, follow a set of self-imposed practices, and therefore show how much better they are than other, less able people around them. It is also possible for such people to use Christianity to accomplish these ends. They become very religious using the Bible. Both Christians and Jews can use the scriptures in a way which does not have its source in God. The natural human being, using his intellect, can produce a sort of religious philosophy, a code of seemingly biblical behavior and ethics to follow, resulting in a seemingly righteous appearance, without much, if any, relationship with God himself. This too is human and earthly. It too is part of the system of this world. It is part of the devil's kingdom. The Pharisees of Jesus' day were a good example of this. They were extremely religious. They not only tried to rigorously follow the law of Moses, they extrapolated it even further to include an enormous number of little rules and regulations which they themselves invented. For them, this religious behavior was of the utmost importance. Following these rules gave them a false sense of security and self-importance. They felt superior to all the others who did not have the strength of will to adhere to their code of behavior. So when Jesus came and demonstrated the true holiness, which was not based on a set of rules, but on a relationship with God himself, they became offended. They became angry. This manifestation of genuine righteousness, whose source was the life of God, exposed their system as being misguided, human, and earthly. It was revealed to be simply a worldly religion without the power to change the ugliness of the fallen human nature. It was, in fact, a segment of the devil's kingdom. For this reason, Jesus could justly say to them, "You are of your father, the devil," John chapter 8, verse 44. They appeared to be following the law of God, but were in fact merely expressing a part of the kingdom of darkness. They were in the religious segment of the world system, the prostitute. The exposing of their worldly religious system ignited a hatred in the hearts of these self-righteous people. Soon, their hatred led to murder. Things are no different today. Religion is still the same. Religious people feel and act the same way. Since their holiness is not a product of their relationship with God himself, they hate, persecute, and even kill those whose lives are truly holy. This malady is not limited only to Pharisees. It also works in those who call themselves Christians, even among some who are born again. It is actually the flesh, the carnal human nature, which is active in their religious life. For many, following a set of rules, be they Old Testament laws or New Testament principles, is the source of their security and righteousness. What many mistake for Christianity is far too often simply the natural human being trying to live up to some standards, believe in some doctrines, and follow some prescribed practices. Just as with the Pharisees, Christians too can become very religious. While they may believe that they are following Jesus because they are conforming themselves to some biblical pattern, in far too many cases, it is simply their flesh adapting to a new code of ethics and behavior. As in the case of Buddhists, Hindus, or Muslims, the flesh can also make a good show of religion and Christianity, when the changes which are made in our lives are not a result of intimacy with Christ, which produces a spontaneous and genuine transformation, then it is merely the flesh becoming more religious. It is all too possible for some who claim to be Christians to make a good show of their religion. Perhaps they stop smoking and drinking. Maybe they change their dress habits. Possibly they begin carrying a Bible and alter their speech patterns. They may become zealous, faithful participants in some Christian group or other. But much of this may not be genuine transformation. It could very easily be their flesh becoming religious. Perhaps the army would be a good analogy for us here. There everyone is conformed to the same pattern. Their dress, words, and actions are all programmed and regulated. They learn to march in step. They are taught how to address their superiors. They are all trained to the same pattern. Yet all this is simply something done through the power of the flesh, the natural man. Much of today's Christianity also fits into this pattern. When our Christianity is religious instead of real, it will manifest itself in many ways. One of these is hatred for others who do not agree with us. It will manifest itself in a dislike for those who have a life of intimacy with Jesus, which exposes our true condition. It is revealed in our lack of love for others, including our enemies. It is evident in a person who thinks principally of themselves, who is easily irritable, ambitious for position, who loves money and the things of the world, who uses other people for their own benefit, who borrows and does not repay, who promises and does not do what he has said, and many other such things. While following a set of rules and principles may produce a superficial appearance of goodness, our daily living will always reveal what is really in our hearts. This is why Jesus insisted that some in the Church of Philadelphia were in fact part of the synagogue of Satan, Revelation chapter 3, verse 9. These people professed that they were Jews, that they were in fact God's people. They were obviously practicing some kind of religion which they considered biblical and were probably participating in the church. Yet their life was a lie. Revelation chapter 3, verse 9. It was just the fallen flesh becoming religious and consequently was a manifestation of the devil's kingdom. Their Christianity was really just the synagogue of Satan. Therefore, it becomes very clear that being seduced by religion, even if it has a form of godliness, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5, or Christianity, is no different from being seduced by sex, drugs, alcohol, fame, wealth, or power. This seducing religious force is also a part of or an aspect of the devil's kingdom. It is part of Babylon, the prostitute. It is simply another method Satan uses to deviate the hearts of men and women away from a genuine intimacy with God and captivate them with a false yet subtle substitute. The blood of the martyrs. With this in mind, we can discuss with more clarity how this prostitute, Babylon, who is revealed in the book of Revelation, can be drunk with the blood of the martyrs. It is clear that many worldly people, moved by a rising hatred for those who do not share their lifestyle, have killed many saints of God. This was true in the early church during the Roman Empire. Many believers were killed for sport, in the arenas. Since that time, uncounted numbers of Christians have been murdered by various earthly governments and others because of their testimony. What confuses some believers is when something called the church also begins to kill Christians. For some reason, they cannot see that this is merely another segment of Satan's worldly kingdom, since it has an appearance of being religious or even Christian. They fail to discern that it is no different than the rest of the devil's realm. In recent years, many have tried to imagine, for example, that religious Christianity, principally in the form of the Catholic Church, has been the primary source of persecution of believers during the previous centuries, but this is not true. Although they were leaders in this persecution for a time during what is called the Dark Ages, many other governments, groups, and persons have also been responsible for the deaths of millions of believers. The Muslim Empire slaughtered uncounted Christians. The Soviet Union also did so. Today, thousands of believers are being imprisoned, tortured, and martyred in Africa, China, and many other parts of the world. All this cannot be blamed on the Catholic Church. Instead, we see that the prostitute is a multifaceted entity which is the embodiment of all the devil's worldly offerings. In fact, this prostitute in Revelation is not merely guilty of the blood of the martyrs. Her sin is much, much larger than that. She is actually guilty of the blood of all who were slain on the earth. Revelation chapter 18, verse 24. This seems to indicate that every murder and even every casualty of war can be laid at the feet of this harlot. How can this be? It is because the devil's kingdom has been working since before the creation. Cain killed Abel because of envy. Others since then have murdered each other because of jealousy, hatred, greed, fear, lust for power, and all the other things which are the hallmarks of Satan's woman. Babylon's true character. From this discussion, it should be clear to any honest reader that in spite of what many insist, the Catholic Church cannot be thought of as the summation of what is meant by the word Babylon in the book of Revelation. Instead, this prostitute which the devil uses to seduce the world is much more than mere religion. She is the embodiment of all that this world has to offer to seduce the hearts of men and women, and thus keep them from an intimacy with God. She represents the vast array of attractions which are part of Satan's kingdom. The prostitute Babylon is having lots of success. She is succeeding in seducing many men and women, both in the world and in the church. She is also finding pleasure in their killing men and women who are made in the image of God, when and where she can arrange it. The kingdom of this world, the prostitute of the devil, is responsible for all the bloodshed which has happened on this earth since the beginning and is still happening today. The seductive kingdom of the devil has existed since the beginning of this world. Satan certainly succeeded in enticing Eve to eat the forbidden fruit, showing her that it was attractive, delicious, and would make her wise and self-fulfilled. Throughout the history of humanity, the devil with his prostitute has also prevailed in capturing the hearts of many, even men and women of God. We read that, "For she has cast down many wounded, and all who were slain by her were strong men." Proverbs chapter 7, verse 26. Yet at the end of the New Testament, John records a vision of this harlot in a new form. This vision has much in it for us to understand. This vision we will examine in the next chapter. You have just listened to a chapter from one of David Dyer's books. These recordings or copies of the book are available at www.agrainofwheat.com. No spaces, all small letters. That's www.agrainofwheat.com.